7, Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 7. And here we have the third commandment. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 7, where the scripture says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless." Now I want you to notice that. The Lord will not hold him guiltless, without guilt, but taketh his name in vain. Here we have a warning, and I believe it's a warning that is especially needed in our day. There are so many folks who in their conversation, even in songs, that the words are so vulgar that no sane person can stand to be around it. I don't know if y'all have it around here, but in certain parts of Mississippi, they have these cars that go around boom, 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 boom. Y'all have those? Okay. I don't know what you call those cars, but they're boom booms. And a lot of times, wow, the music and then the words filthy, rotten, no good. Vulgarity has become, by the world, acceptable, not by the Christian. Television has done its dirty work through the years in bringing to the masses the filth that was seldom heard except in the bar room. Now it's heard in the restaurant and the gas station and everywhere else. It's a terrible thing that we face with this vulgarity. I believe that one of the reasons that America is crumbling is that we're guilty as a nation of breaking the third commandment and actually using God's name in vain. Many years ago, Nelson Rockefeller was one of the politicians who was well known throughout America. And I remember when he got mad and he used God's name in vain on public television, and everybody goes, and there was a public outcry of Rockefeller doing that. But that's no longer the case. It's become the norm, which it should never be the norm, using God's name in vain. Men and women both think nothing about doing it. Used to, you would go to a place, and I've done this with my wife with me, and some men would begin to speak, and they'd begin to say vulgar things. You'd say, "Hey, fellas, listen, there's a lady here." Now it's the, so well, it's a woman who's over there doing the cussing. It's a sad thing. And many times they're using God's name in vain. Now God's name is to be honored and cherished and not placed in or as a common curse word. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God will not hold America or any other nation guiltless that takes the name of the Lord our God in vain. For us to understand how serious this is, we need to understand who God is to the best of our understanding through the Word. Those who know the Lord and know how great and wonderful and powerful He is, how mighty and holy He is, will not use His name in a derogatory way. We'll be careful. Today there are so many in our country who are ignorant of God, and that's on purpose. It has been a plan that has been carried out over the decades. Goes back to a fellow named John Dewey, and even before that, but Dewey had a plan, and that plan has come to fruition. To dumb down America. To destroy our system. And how would he do it? Through public education. And that's what's happened. We have raised a generation of illiterates and of God-haters and of evolutionists. This is what we have. This is what we see all around us. Those who want to be ignorant, those who are ignorant because they think that being so they can go on in sin without guilt and condemnation. They want to be ignorant of the laws of God. They do not want to be held accountable, but they are. You cannot get away from accountability. If you're here today and you say, well, I'm here because I have to be here. I've been made to be here. I look for the day when I don't have to be here, and then I'll be away from all of this. You'll never get away. For the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let me tell you something. His name. You never get away from that. These days, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How wonderful is He? Oh, He's great and wonderful. Spurgeon said this about ignorance. Ignorance of those in the world. He says ignorance is worse when it amounts to ignorance of God. And knowledge is best when it exercises itself upon the name of God. Unbelief, and he was such a master of words, unbelief, that hooting night bird, cannot live in the light of divine knowledge. Unbelief can't live in the light of divine knowledge when you have the knowledge of the truth. It flies before the S-U-N, the Son of God's great and gracious name. The reason so many people use the name of God in vain is because they don't understand how great and marvelous and wonderful He is and His name is. Well, who is God? He is the Omniscient One. He's all-knowing. Do you believe He knows right where we are today? I do. He knows right where you're sitting. He sees all. He knows all. He knows everything. Nothing passes His watchful eye. Nothing gets by Him. Every light, filthy, ungodly use of His great and marvelous name is noticed by Him, the One who parted the Red Sea. He notices it all. He sees it all. He knows all about it. Psalm 147 in verse number 5. Psalm 147 in verse number 5 says, Great is our Lord, and of great power. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. You and I are finite, but He is infinite. His understanding and knowledge is infinite. Dear friends, of His understanding there is no number. That's the idea. That's the thought. That's what we have here. He understands it. He sees it. He knows it. He knows your very thoughts. He knows that word before it ever comes out of your mouth. Not only is He omniscient, He's omnipresent. He is present at all places, at all times, wherever you are, and whatever you're saying or whatever you're doing, God is there. He hears it. He sees it. He is God. And this should help us to watch our tongue. This should help us to watch our actions. This should help us to watch our associations. This should help us to watch our participation. Let's go to Psalm 139 and beginning at verse number 4. Psalm 139 and verse number 4, where the Bible says, and notice this in verse 4, Psalm 139, verse number 4, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Boy, that's a wake-up call. "Thou hast beset me behind and before." He's in front of us. He's back behind us. And laid thine hand upon me. Here is the believer, the one trusting in Him. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Where are you going to go and get away from God? "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I take my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." And we could read on about His greatness there, but you already see what I'm talking about. God is where we are. He sees us. He knows us. He knows our very thoughts. He knows your tongue. He's omnipresent. Not only is He omniscient, omnipresent, but He is omnipotent. He is the mighty God. God is absolutely all power. And as such, He is able to bring to pass anything that He pleases. Job 42 in verse number 2. We're there in the Psalms, so we'll go back to Job. There in Job 42 in verse number 2, the Bible says, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." Now, that means that nothing that God thinks of, no thought of His can be hindered. Not a thing. You can't hinder God. "Well, if man would do this, man would do that." No, God does as He pleases. He's God. He's God. He is all-powerful. Many scriptures could be given here. He's immutable. That means He is absolutely 100% unchangeable. You're not going to change God. He'll change you. But you will not change God. He is the same as He has always been. Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord, I change not." He does not change. You need to be changed. He does not change. He does not change. What God said about taking His name in vain in Exodus chapter 20 is the same as it was when it was given. That does not change. His word does not change. His commandments do not change. He is the Lord God. I am the Lord, I change not. What he has said about sin is unchangeable. Wait a minute, we live in a different society, we live in a different world, things are different now, and what was sin 40 years ago is no longer sin because now it's acceptable. That's a lie. Sin is sin. Well, a lot of people cuss and carry on and it's okay because society accepts the using of the name of the Lord in vain. No, 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 it is not acceptable. Sin is sin. Vulgarity is wrong. He is sovereign. He rules the universe by his sovereignty. And what he commands us to do, now especially you young people, what he commands us to do, he commands it for our good. It is for our good. He gave us these Ten Commandments for our good. This is given to us for our good. This will help us. It's for the good of the individual. It's for the good of a nation. This nation will not stand if we cannot stand the Ten Commandments. And the laws of God. The person who uses God's name in vain does so against their own good. They're hurting themselves. Now, there are a lot of other attributes we could get into and show, but I think this is enough to let you know that we serve a mighty God, a wonderful, wonderful and all-knowing, powerful, unchanging God, and His name is to be exalted and not trashed and used as a curse word. What about the use of the name Reverend? The use of the name Reverend. Now, there are people who call me Reverend. I don't like it. They're going to do it. I can't get around it. You know what I'm saying, Brother Wayne? They're going to do it. But there's only one who is Reverend. That term is only used of God. Psalm 111 in verse number 9. Psalm 111 and verse number 9. Psalm 111, verse 9 says, He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. Not my name, His name. Holy and reverend is His name. Never used of man, because it's only for God. Holy and reverend is His precious name. The Jews of old held the name of God, Jehovah God, in such esteem that they refused to pronounce it. They would not pronounce it. Some refused to step on any piece of paper. If there was a piece of paper there, they would not step on a piece of paper. Why? Because they were afraid that God's name may be written upon that piece of paper. And they did not want to in any way degrade or abuse the name of God. Now, you may say, well, that's going to the extreme. That is crazy, excessive. Could it be said of our generation and of our age that we have gone to the extreme and to the excess in the other direction? It's much better to be on the safe side. It's much better to honor the name of God as we should, instead of using it in wrong and sinful ways. Some, I believe, overuse the name of God in conversation and even in prayer. I think you can make it a repetitive thing to where it loses its meaning. You know what I'm saying? We have to be careful how we use His name. In music, in a lot of the new choruses and praise music, it's just using His name over and over and over and over. And many times it's used to build up emotion. I've seen it over and over again. It's used just to build up an emotion. What you need is the Spirit of God in your heart and life. I like good singing. I like the old shape notes, like a lot of those songs. Then I like the Sacred Harp singing, where there's no piano or anything, but somebody gives the key and then everybody sings their parts. There's some folks I know in Mississippi that are headed over to Texas to go to a singing school. Now that was normal in America years ago. You had singing schools throughout the country. And folk would come in and teach people how to follow the notes and sing the different parts and four-part harmony. And sing songs that glorify God. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But overuse in music, prayer, conversation is not good. When I was in Korea, there was a young fellow there in the barracks with me, and he would just use Jesus' name over and over. Now, he's a Christian, but every other word, he used the name of our Lord over and over and over. His name was Bobby. I said, Bobby, I think you're overusing, and it loses its reverence. His name is precious. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a commonplace word. It's a wonderful word, but not to be misused, overused. The Jews do not carelessly, the Orthodox Jews, carelessly write the name of God. They're concerned about the written name of God. They're afraid that it might be defaced, that it might be erased, obliterated or destroyed by someone who knows no better. They are careful about it. We need to be careful about it being erased from our society, because that's exactly what is going on. Should we not be concerned that the use of God's name in a careless way is defacing it? It really is. It's defacing it. It's scratching at it. Trying to remove it. God's name is reverend, and His name should always be held in reverence. Always. Now, what is using God's name in vain? What does it mean to use His name in vain? Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Vain. What is meant by vain? It means use of a word in a useless, abortive, worthless way. Empty. Vain. Empty. Useless. Abortive. Worthless. Vain words in reference to God are words that are used cheaply. Words that are used flippantly and casually. Using God's name in vain is what some have called substitute cursing. They don't actually use the name of God. They, you, oh my, or gee, and use substitutes. Substitute cursing. We have to be careful what we say and how we say. using God's name in vain is to empty His name of its power and of its significance. The Hebrew word denoted in the scripture in Exodus 20 and verse 7 means, do not empty the name of the Lord our God. Do not use His name in vain. Do not empty His name. Does that make sense to you? Don't empty it out. Make it useless. Do not empty it. It's a holy. His name is holy, marvelous, wonderful. Using God's name in vain is to use the name of God in a throwaway way. Just use it as a part of a conversation. You hear it. Where people just use His name. They throw it away. They throw it here. They throw it there. That's what happens. They use Jesus' name casually. Let me ask you this morning, is God nothing to you? He's everything. Now there are things that are worthless to me. So I throw them away. I'm not going to throw His name around or throw it away. His name. We're not to use His name in a worthless way. Now, let's think now about the positive use of the name of the Lord. Positively. To sing the songs of Zion that exalt the Lord our God is a way of positively using the name of our God. The Bible tells us, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do y'all remember the chorus, be filled with the Spirit? Well, let's see if we can sing it this morning. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's sing it again. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I believe that's what we need to do. Psalms, singing the Scripture. Hymns, how great thou art. Spiritual songs, amazing grace. That's what we need to do. Lift up His name. Be positive in the use of the name of our God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Singing that in praise to Him, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. To God be the glory. We ought to speak of God and His attributes. We need to do that. To do that, using His name correctly and reverently. Let's go to 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 17. 1 Timothy 1, verse number 17. Speaking of God and His attributes, positively, using His name correctly, reverently. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Think about those words. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You remember that one? You remember that chorus? Or have we ever done that here? Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, now you remember it? Or you didn't learn it? Okay, Mandy, you know it? Mandy knows it. I think we did that camp sometime, years ago. Not that many years ago. But we need to sing and praise Him and use His name in a wonderful way and lift it up. Lift His name up. That's what we are to do. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a reminder to us. Amen. That's what we are to do. We need a God-centered attitude. And when we have that, we'll use His name in a positive way. Psalm 145, verse number 5 says this, concerning the name of the Lord, I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. Wondrous works. And this speaks of His words as well. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. Psalm 29, verse number 2. Psalm 29, verse 2 says, give unto the Lord. Psalm 29 and verse number 2. Psalm 29, verse number 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Do not trash His name. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, turn with me to Revelation, if you have your Bible, to the Revelation. Revelation. Chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15 and verses 3 and 4. Positively using His name, not in a negative way, not in a wrong way, but in a positive way. Verse number 3, Revelation 15. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before Thee. For Thy judgments are made manifest. Glorify. Glorify. Glorify the name of the Lord. Then in Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138 and verse number 2. Where the Bible says this, Psalm 138, verse number 2, says, I will worship. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. I like that. I will praise your name because of your loving kindness and because of your truth. Loving kindness and truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Oh, above all thy name. Should we have reverence to the name of God? Yes. Should we love the Word of God? Yes. And that's why we're careful about what we use, because we want to magnify Him in what we do. It's a serious thing to take God's name in vain, but it's a wonderful thing to know Him and know what His name means. It means much to me. His name means much to me. And I would pray it would mean much to you. It is Christ who died, was buried, and who rose again. And I want you to look at a verse with me. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. And notice what it says here. Acts 4, verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name under heaven. So that excludes all of these false gods. Amen? So there's one name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering what He did for us, realizing that He died for our sins, was buried, and He rose again the third day, not believing the gospel, but believing in the Christ of the gospel. It's not the gospel that saves us, it's Christ. He saves us. Amen? We trust in Him. Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Glorify His name. Praise His name. Brother Wayne.